Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Larimer, today joined by John Andrus. Once again, apologies for any echoey sound you may be hearing. I'm still setting up in my new home. Right, let's get into the news of today, and this is the continuing deterioration of the EFF, with Julius Malema seeming, to me at least, like he's a little bit reminiscent of Hitler in the bunker in the final days of World War II in Europe. So why do I say that? Well, the latest news and story is that Dalia Mpofu, who's of course been a very prominent figure of the EFF, has left the party to join the MK party. Advocate Dalia Mpofu said that there was nothing personal and it was not against any particular person. It's something I'm doing for my people. This was confirmed by MK party spokesperson. And we are yet to hear comment from the party. Malema, in response to all of this, has been tweeting, I think, somewhat erratic things. One of his more recent ones, which seems to be a reference to his opponent in the party, reads, "Only two more of your favorites remain, and the list will be finalized. They sing beautifully and are always willing to pose for pictures and sign roll calls. But remember, their souls are long gone. To prevent any potential hurt, it's crucial to heed the guidance." This is like just absolute madness. This is all kind of started when Floyd Shivambu left the party to join MK a while ago. And I think, you know, the seeds of that became clear when Malema at the EFF's 10-year anniversary celebration dinner basically threatened Floyd Shivambu that he would destroy him if he ever challenged Malema for leadership. Interesting. John, it looks like the EFF is continuing to be in trouble. We've seen in polling that numbers are down quite significantly.
Yeah, so it looks like the EFF is suffering from an exodus of black leaders. We haven't really seen many leaders who are not black leaving the EFF for whatever reason. But what I find potentially the most interesting about this development is that we are seeing an intangible asset, but the most important asset that a party possesses, ebbing away from the EFF, and that is confidence. In other words, if you are an EFF member at the moment, you've seen Floyd Shivambu leave, you've seen Dalia Mpofu leave, you've seen Busisiwe Mkhwebane resign from the EFF.
Although somewhat less of a prize, Busisiwe Mkhwebane.
Yes, exactly. But you're seeing all your senior people one by one going, apparently also leaving with not very much emotional turmoil. They seem to be quite relaxed over it. You've got to start getting worried at some point and say, who's actually leading this party? In which direction are they taking it? And I think that this confidence is ebbing away now. And that's going to be a huge challenge for Julius Malema to figure out a way to stem the tide of ebbing confidence and to reestablish it. And what his, as you point out, increasingly erratic tweets seem to indicate is that I think he's becoming a bit desperate because he's trying to figure this out and trying to find a way to get people to trust him, to believe in him, to believe in the project, to believe in the party, and they're just leaving. That's a very tough situation to be in. MK seems to be the main beneficiary at the moment. And as much as confidence is flowing away from the EFF, it seems to be flowing towards MK, the State Capture Reunion Party. Nick?
Yeah, I think one of the problems that the EFF and MK have, you know, there was this idea that they're going to all work together in the Progressive Caucus. And it was all going to be lovely. But the problem is that MK, in a lot of ways, is just sort of the EFF with a different sort of ethnic representative component to it, in that it's mainly focused amongst sort of Zulu identity rather than the kind of northwestern identity that you find in the EFF and Limpopo, of course. And, you know, there's not that much space for a radical left party in South Africa. There's only like maybe, I would say, a quarter of voters who you can, in theory, get into that block. And, you know, there was going to come a time when people were going to back the strong horse. And the strong horse has turned out to be MK rather than the EFF, which has also made the terrible mistake, as I've said before, of just preventing any room for anyone to grow in that party who is not Julius Malema. Malema seemed to delight in humiliating his underlings.
Yeah. And what a bit of a development I'm also seeing, Nick, is that the EFF, I think, had pretensions of intellectual rigor. So, you know, they would read Franz Fanon, they would read Karl Marx, they would read the revolutionary literature and refer to it and sort of quite explicitly have an ideological outlook, which in the case of MK feels far more like a veneer. You know, it's a thin covering for, I think, corruption and nationalism, radical nationalism, black nationalism.
So authoritarianism.
Authoritarianism, exactly, in terms of the internal structures, which EFF has also got. But I think the EFF at least had the pretense of you know, wanting to involve other leaders, not just one leader.
Yeah, in theory, Julius Malema could be, you know, voted out of control of the EFF, although it's not going to happen in reality. You know, the EFF at least had that idea that that could happen. MK, there's no such pretensions, but I think they're not suffering from the same sort of bottleneck that the EFF is suffering from, because, quite frankly, Zuma is a lot older. And that means then that people are, shall we say, willing to wait their turn a bit more.
Yeah, but I think the lack of ideology will be a weakness in the end. So I think we'll have a bit of development work on that. It needs it as a glue.
That's the big unanswered question, I think, about politics in a lot of ways. Okay, so let's go to a new story, and this is about trouble on our border. It's not been covered particularly well, as far as I can tell. But Mozambique is undergoing a series of significant and widespread violent protests in the country. Mozambican authorities say that they are thinking of deploying the army to defeat the protests, which are sort of running rampant across the country. These protests were sparked by the opposition in Mozambique claiming that, and I think probably with some justification, that the government of Mozambique, Frelimo, had rigged the elections in September of this year. There's just generally been, I think, a lot of discontent with the governance of Frelimo, which has not been a particularly successful one in Mozambique. And of course, the country now is facing multiple crises. It's struggling to get investment in the north of the country because of the ISIS-affiliated terror group that's operating in that part of the country. It's got terrible policies and very weak protection of property rights. And so the country has struggled to grow its economy outside of natural resources. And basically, Mozambicans who have been languishing in poverty for a very long time now are kind of asking the question, you know, why do we have to put up with it? This is starting to affect South Africa because the Lubombo port of entry, the border post with Mozambique, had to be closed today after Mozambican officials fled the country onto the South African side seeking protection from groups of protesters who were burning a truck depot on the Mozambican side and seemed to have basically taken over control of the border to some degree. South African officials said, "We have no option but to close our border. We can't process people on our side." However, South African government did say that it would be working to prevent any of the violence spilling over to the South African side. John, what do you make of this?
Well, for me, the first interesting observation is that these protests are as large as they have been, because Mozambique is one of the poorest countries in the world, probably in the bottom 10 or so of GDP per capita. And for poor people, it's very hard to protest and to sustain protests. Because firstly, you might not be getting enough food, so you do not have high energy levels. Plus, you've got to dedicate a large part of your time to finding food. So you haven't really got time to go protesting. So for Mozambicans to be going out in their numbers protesting the way they have been is an indication that their level of frustration must be quite extreme, you know, that they're sort of prioritizing this above other things which might even be existential in nature for them. So the energy is there. Is it enough to challenge Frelimo successfully? That is the big question, which, of course, Frelimo is also going to be asking itself. And the answer to that question lies, I think, on the one hand, in the willingness and ability of Frelimo, the government, to deploy lethal violence to quell the protests, which I think they have demonstrated already to some extent. They've also shut down the internet and social media, or at least interfered with the operation of these services in order to control the protests. But I'm not sure if they've got enough control to do that. On the other side of the equation, the question is whether the protests are directed or are given gain leadership that will be able to direct them towards for them successful outcome. And that's going to be quite tricky. Like the main opposition leader who has been complaining about the election result is Mr. Mondlane, Venancio Mondlane, and he is not in the country at the moment. So he's communicating from outside the country, says this is a very dramatic and critical moment for the country, of course, but he says he's not even in Africa. So clearly, you know, he's fearful for his life. It makes it hard for him to lead any sort of coordinated action within Mozambique. And it may be that these protests are simply going to run out of steam because the government has more resources. It can afford to wait for longer, and it can afford to deploy violence in order to crack down. But as you point out, for South Africa, this is a really bad scenario. It sort of creates the bad neighbor contagion impression on the region. So foreign investors looking at Southern Africa as a whole will say, well, property rights are weak in Zimbabwe, they're weak in Mozambique, the situation is unstable, transport is not always available as ports get closed, borders get closed. So this is not a great investment destination. And South Africa then also suffers the consequences of that. I think it just reemphasizes the importance of stable governance, democratic governance, strong property rights, really getting the basics right is so, so important for economic growth and more prosperity. Nick.
And of course, things like this can also, if they continue on for long enough and have enough impact, can spread to other countries. And I'm thinking particularly of Zimbabwe, which is, I would say, under a much tighter iron grip. But if the protests continue and start to actually gain some ground in unseating the government of Mozambique, it's possible to me that this might inspire something in Zimbabwe as well. We don't really know. I think very much it seemed clear that across the world there's a very big anti-incumbent feeling at the moment, and you're seeing that also in Southern Africa with the ANC losing significant numbers of votes, with the Botswanan government having a massive change in its most recent election. I suspect you probably would have seen something similar in the Mozambican election, maybe if there hadn't been all these irregularities, we won't know.
Quite possibly, yeah.
Okay, last story for today. An interesting little detail which suggests that the Gauteng ANC is close with the MK party. MK party's secretary general has resigned from the party, not because he has fallen out of it, or at least not apparently because he's fallen out of it, but because he's going to be taking up a position as the chief director for infrastructure in the Gauteng Department of Health. So basically as a senior official. In his resignation letter, Dr. Maseko from the MK party said that I wish to unconditionally extend my heartfelt and warm appreciation for the collective leadership under the stewardship of the president and members of the MKP at large. I will always be available for any deployment by MKP leaders, but not in the capacity of being an office bearer due to imminent changes in the legislative framework that will apply to public servants. I remain a member of MKP and committed to serving in any capacity deemed necessary by the party, including retaining my role as a member of the National High Command. Now, Dr. Maseko is implicated in a special investigative unit report finding that he and eight other government officials engaged in improper behavior and so were suspended in 2022. He was on suspension with full pay. So it really seems to me like this may be a bit of a cater deployment political decision by Lesufi's ANC, and I'm, of course, speculating on that point, but you know, this is a guy who is, shall we say, doesn't have a great resume to recommend him, in the sense that, you know, he's been implicated in dodgy dealings in the past, and yet here he gets a senior position within the Gauteng administration. John, what do you make of this?
Yeah, it's a really sort of intriguing little story, because the Secretary General of the party is a very high-ranking official within the party, and for him to sort of drop it to go work as a government official should raise eyebrows and maybe raise some question marks. And also, I think this ostentatious declaration of loyalty that you just read out is indicative of the control of Jacob Zuma over the party. Personal loyalty really matters. So even if you're being deployed elsewhere or going elsewhere, you'll make sure to say how much you love the leader. Just a reminder that Maseko, I don't know if you recall, in the early days, he was appointed as Secretary General of MK to replace Arthur Tswane. But then he was kicked out for Tswane to come back. And then Zuma kicked Tswane out again and reinstated Maseko again. So there's been like this musical chairs happening at the top of MK, with Sifiso Maseko being one of the primary players. And now maybe he's opted out and said, no, look, this is just not really comfortable for me. I'd rather go and be an official somewhere in Gauteng. That's the one side of the equation. And the other one, as you point out, is what does it mean from the ANC perspective and especially the Gauteng ANC perspective? So is it really necessary for the Lesufi administration to appoint somebody who's been dismissed over allegations of irregularity to basically the same position that he was removed from? What sort of message does that send? And why is it so important to do that? And maybe the reason to do that is indeed political, that you are building up ties with a potential future partner in the form of MK. And that is a development, I think, that it is well worth highlighting and noting. It's a canary in the coal mine kind of moment. Nick?
If I was Lesufi's opponents within the ANC, I would very much pay close attention to this sort of thing. Mm. And maybe follow some of these chains down, because I think this is potentially a bit of a weakness for Lesufi if he gets tied too much to the bad elements in the MK party. I think that will hurt his standing, probably not just within the country, but maybe even within the ANC too. Okay, that's all the time we have for today. We hope you found the show interesting, and we will be back tomorrow with the Daily Fringe Show. Cheers, everyone, and have a wonderful day. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.